And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke live internet web radio broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent, wherever they may dwell upon the earth. And of course, as I always say, the ideas that we represent as European Americans is truly an idea, or a principle that's good for all peoples. All people on this planet should preserve their way of life, should have self-determination, should be allowed to determine the course of their own government, should be allowed to pursue their own ideals of faith, heritage, and tradition, and not be denied those basic human rights. There's a problem, though. There's a tremendous obstacle to that kind of idea and issue. And that obstacle, of course, lies in Jewish supremacism, worldwide Zionist absolute attempts to control media, government, policy, and of course today even institute war against those nations that don't go along with their particular globalist programs. And what is their program? It's really to destroy all people, all heritages except for their own. It is a diabolical principle. It is a supremacist principle that goes beyond anything that one can imagine. The same media which they control, which makes out racial supremacism, or the idea of wiping out other people, or genocidal ideas, or destroying other people's cultures, or heritages, or freedoms, the same media that says that this is a terrible process is the same media that defends Israel. You see, their ideas of so-called egalitarianism are only supposed to be applicable for Gentile communities, whether they be Christian or Muslim. One of their favorite tactics, of course, is to divide and conquer. I write about that in my book, Jewish Supremacism, where I quote from Steven Steinlight, the former head of national affairs of the largest and most powerful Jewish organization in the world. And, of course, Israel has driven many of the Muslim and Arabic nations on the earth to see the dangers of Zionism, to oppose, obviously, Israel. It's their neighborhood. It's their people who are being killed. And, of course, the Zionists have launched this incredible war against Iraq, a war based on lies. And this has brought them to this recognition. So the Jewish supremacist media has tried to put us into a war mode and has tried to provoke war, hatred, and bloodshed between the Christian West and the Muslim East and South. And by doing so, they're really compromising their ideas and our issues. They've created a new boogeyman, much like the Cold War, and they've kept the attention of the Europeans and the Americans off of the destruction of our own culture. The fact that our borders are being invaded, that our traditions and our heritage is being wiped away. The nation of our forefathers, the fantastic art, literature, culture, architecture, the very beauty of our people themselves are being wiped away by the powers of Jewish supremacism. And they are a threat to us, and they are a threat to all the people of the world. Today, the American government is embarked under the tremendous influence of the Jewish neocons. These Trotskyite Marxists have embarked upon trying to even widen the war in the Middle East, a war which is already, the war in Iraq is already a disaster for America. 2,000 dead, 20,000 to 30,000 wounded, untold numbers of Iraqis who now say they look at Saddam Hussein's regime as the good old days, you know, when they could actually have safety and security and not see their children be threatened every day, and massive numbers of civilians dying in this tremendous upheaval that we've created. And they see these Jewish supremacists, even with this disaster in Iraq, both for America, $300 billion expended, and actually it will be cost us, even if we got out of Iraq tomorrow, it will end up costing us at least $1.3 trillion, according to the New York Times and the Washington Post, because of the tremendous ongoing expenses, even taking care of our massive numbers of wounded. But of course, the Jewish supremacists don't plan to end this war. They want to increase this war. Richard Perle and Paul Wolfowitz wrote the paper, a a clean break, a new strategy for securing the realm, which was a paper written for Benjamin Netanyahu, and it was about launching war against Iraq, against Syria, and against Iran. In fact, the paper very tellingly says that the way to Damascus is through Baghdad. Well, Damascus is now in the crosshairs. Syria is now in the crosshairs. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I can now report to you, I've finished my trip. I didn't have very good internet access in that country. But I must say, I had one of the most impactful, one of the most interesting, and one of the most enlightening trips of my life. I've met some really wonderful people in the process of this trip. I think I met approximately half the members of Parliament personally. I met many government officials. I met many scholars, businessmen, other people. I met the Grand Mufti of Syria, which is the highest, you might say, the religious authority or scholar or teacher for the country. A man of incredible presence and ability. A guy that, you know, that might look like some gentleman right down the street from you in your own neighborhood, except the fact that he has a beard. Most of the scholars here have beards, but he looks very American. But the man spoke with a great deal of warmth. He loves this. He loves, really, the American people. And I think he knows. And I think that the Syrians know, especially after my visit, because I appeared on so much media. Everywhere we went in Syria, by the end of the week that I was there, everybody knew me. They stopped me in the street and they waved and shook hands and they thanked me for coming to their country and trying to help avoid the bloodshed. Yesterday, the day of my departure, I appeared at a major rally, one of the most important squares in Damascus. And most of the members of Parliament were there, and they accorded me the podium. And basically, I can tell you what I said. I wish I had a recording of it. I hope to maybe get some of those recordings in the future. I think you'll enjoy them. I'm proud of them. I'm not at all. You know, I think I've already heard from some people in government that have criticized me, you know, for criticizing, you know, American policy. Well, let me tell you something. The policy of the United States right now in the Mideast is not American policy. It's Israeli policy. As a patriotic American, I oppose that policy. I oppose our boys being sent into battle for a lie. That's the greatest betrayal of America. And I see and I know that if we go to war against Syria, and that's certainly the drums of war being beaten, the Mills report, which is, by the way, I think a totally bogus report that Israel's influencing through their intelligence services, which is trying to blame Syria for the Harari assassination, and again try to justify sanctions. They're trying to create more and more provocations against this country. The head of Syria is a gentleman who's, believe it or not, he's a doctor. He's an ophthalmologist. He was trained and studied in the West. He lived for years in the West. He knows fluent English. He's a very decent man. He's a healer. He's a doctor. He's not some sort of evil dictator that wants to hurt people, and he certainly doesn't want terrorism. And with all the provocations of the Zionists and these powers, all he's done with America is he continues to issue statements, we want peace, we want friendship. Why are you coming against my country? Of course, it's because we resist Israel. We oppose the crimes of Israel. We expose Israel. We have helped support some of the Palestinian movements, and we refuse to go along with this war criminal, Ariel Sharon, and the evil policies of Israel. And because of that, he's become an enemy of this administration. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, he's not an enemy of the American people. Well, let me tell you what I said when I got up on the podium. I said, I come from the peace-loving Americans to those who love peace here in Syria. And I want to tell you that our people don't want war. Every poll shows that our people don't want war, and that it's only the Zionists who want this war. It's only the Zionists. I said, I know as well that the only country, the only government in the Middle East that has committed terrorism against the United States of America, against American personnel with murder and maiming, against America in terms of the treachery of spying, against America and even in attacking an American military ship, the USS Liberty, intelligence ship in international waters, the only nation that's attacked America terroristically, the only government in the Middle East that's attacked America has been that of Israel. And Israel has the longest record of terrorism of any nation in the world, of any nation whatsoever. And I said, I know that it's not the Syrian nation which is a terrorist nation, but it's the nation of Israel. I also said that the real problem that we have in the United States is that we, in many ways, are like the Syrian people. This part of Syria, you see, is occupied by Israel in the Golan Heights. They've come in there. In fact, by the way, in that war, they literally destroyed entire Syrian towns. I mean, razed, destroyed every church, every mosque, every home, in this greater push for Israel. And of course they still occupy Syrian land and territory, and many Syrians who are under this unjust occupation of Israel. And by the way, why do we keep hearing, why is it every day still talking about the Syrian occupation of Lebanon? It wasn't even an occupation, it was an invited. It was an invited situation to help in the terrible civil war that was going on in Lebanon, which, by the way, was orchestrated and promoted by the State of Israel. I went on to say that just as the Golan Heights are occupied, just as the West Bank of Palestine and much of other of Palestine is occupied by the Zionists, I said in many ways America is occupied. Our media, in effect, is occupied by these Jewish supremacists and Zionists. Our State Department is occupied. Much of our Congress is occupied. They're bought, sold, and paid for by the Zionist lobby. And by the way, we have leaders of the Zionist lobby who are right now facing trial for espionage against the United States of America. There's never been a highly placed Syrian spy in America. Never a Syrian government official has damaged America by spying. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an amazing situation. Syria is not trying to affect and control our media. They're trying to affect and control our government. The danger, ladies and gentlemen, to the American people is from Israel. And I said that indeed, just as you're occupied, that we are occupied. I said that your problem with Israel in the Middle East is the same as our problem. And they absolutely, you know, loved what I said. And every one of the officials that I met expressed to me heartfelt appreciation and love. And decency and friendship toward the American people. They even understand the American people, and they know it would be a tragedy if we ever go to war. They don't want to kill American soldiers, and my God, they don't want American soldiers to kill them. Certainly not for the State of Israel. I closed my speech by saying, very clearly, in fact I said it three times, just to make it the strongest statement I could as to what is going on in the Middle East, both in Iraq and Syria and Iran. I said, no war for Israel. No war for Israel. No war for Israel. While I was in Syria, I did many interviews and discussions with top-notch people. And I'm talking to you about the very best people of the country. And I was so enlightened. The Syria, Damascus, it reminded me so much of New Orleans, at least before Katrina, New Orleans. There is food and the festival everywhere. There's laughter and song and dance everywhere. The country has great food. And I always thought New Orleans had the best food in the world. I still do, but I tell you, Damascus has a very, very close second. I mean, they've really got fantastic food, the most exquisite kinds of vegetables and the way they prepare their foods and meats. And the service is fantastic. And the old frugal Scottishman that I am, I tell you, you can't believe the prices there. You can go to a nice restaurant, eat $4 or $5, unbelievable food. Fresh fruit juices are everywhere served. But Syria is just it's just a lovely country and safe. it's just unbelievable how safe it is. Girls can walk in the streets late at night. They have very, very little alcohol. They do have the availability of alcohol for those who want it, but it's a nation that doesn't really have a problem with drunk driving because they don't have really a problem with drunks because alcohol is that rare in the country. It's just an incredible land. And I tell you something, the people don't feel, you know, the people talk about dictatorship or they talk about the Syrian government. People don't feel threatened by this government, and the government doesn't feel threatened by the people. I'll give you the best example I can of that. I mentioned this in the interview that I'm going to be playing for you in a few minutes. The people, the government of Syria, I went into numerous government offices to meet officials and to talk with them and get their point of view about what's going on in this escalating crisis between America and Syria and the efforts to pose sanctions upon this country. And in every case, not once, and often I just came there with a driver, or with another just lowly Syrian. He wasn't even a Syrian official or anything. And we just went around the town freely to all these different locations. I went right into the parliament, which is a friend, a Syrian friend of no official, nothing. We came up to the gate and said, we came here to meet the parliamentarian so-and-so. And this is the Syrian parliament, right? This is the very heart of their government. I came to the gate. They said, okay, who are you? Well, you know, I told them who I am, David Duke, and they said, fine, and they called, and they came. There was no asking for any of my papers, my passport. There was no, at all, any sort of weapon check or frisking or electronic devices or anything to determine if I had a weapon, more or less a microphone or something like that. Because, you know, could you imagine that in the United States? They had less security for their parliament. And I saw other people coming in the same way. They had less security for their parliament, ladies and gentlemen, than we do for some courthouse in Bunky, Louisiana. I mean, that's the truth. Now, if this is such a repressive government that everybody hates and it's not democracy, how could the government even allow this to go on? Some foreigner comes in without even checking his papers? Could you imagine that in the United States of America? I can't. I absolutely can't. That, to me, tells me a lot. I went into government ministries and buildings. Same thing. Never a check. In fact, I didn't even see a metal detector in sight in a lot of those places. It's just an amazing situation, and it just kind of shows you the difference between the perceptions. Also, people give you this perception of Arabia or Syria as some sort of backward country. You know, I saw maybe two or three ladies out of tens of thousands in the whole country in the streets, because the streets are filled with people. They have many, many shops of all kinds, you know, normal Western goods. It's just, it really looks like in many places exactly like any other European city. And all these places I looked and I saw, you know, I saw maybe two or three women in the whole place with veils over their faces. Now, a lot of the Muslim women wear a cloth wrap around their head, but they, you know, their face is completely exposed. But many others don't. And actually, Damascus has a huge Christian population, which is another good example of what's going on. Damascus is pointed as an enemy. The Jewish supremacists are trying to get us basically to bomb and destroy this country like they did Iraq. And yet there are 2 million Christians in this country, and most of them are located in Damascus, where most of the absolute destruction would take place. Isn't that ironic? These Jewish supremacists and these so-called Christian evangelicals, who so-called, because they're not Christian evangelicals, they're nothing but Jewish evangelicals. They don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They preach the gospel of praise thy Jewish supremacist. And they're getting up here and rooting for Israel, an anti-Christian religion all the way. I mean, the Talmud accuses Christ, and of course the Jewish elders, the Pharisaic tradition, which became Judaism, was the biggest enemy of Jesus Christ. And the Talmud itself says that Jesus Christ is literally being boiled in semen by these Jewish priests. Boiled in semen. I mean, my God, how can you get so horrible as to offer something such as that? And yet they've got the support of this anti-Christ, Jewish state against a nation with 2 million Christians. And by the way, the Christians are totally supportive of the government. I met many Christian leaders at some of my press conferences. There were priests. I had priests from both Catholic and Orthodox divisions there. I also had Protestant clergy who came to my press conferences and asked me positive questions and promoted me and thanked me for being there. And it just shows you how the American people and so many people around the world are being brainwashed. It's shocking how we just don't know the truth anymore. Now, I've got an interview with an excellent interview, I think. I think you're going to find it really good. It's already posted on davidduke.com, so you can stream it and download it. Why don't you wait till the program's over? But as soon as you finish listening to this program, be sure you listen to the interview. It's an hour. You might want to just download it and listen to it at home whenever you get a chance to listen to it in its totality. But it's an interview with Nidal Kabbalon. And he's one of the leading journalists in Syria. In fact, one of the leading in the world. He worked with the BBC in Britain for 6 years. He worked with NBC in Britain. He has interviewed most of the major leaders in the European world. He knows people across the entire spectrum of the arts, books, science, and politics. And I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, this gentleman understands the entire question. And when I was in Syria a day, he got my number from some other media sources, and he called the cell phone of my associate, and he handed the phone to me, and I said, "Yes, my name is Nidal Kabbalon, and I'm an interviewer, and I would, is this the same David Duke who wrote My Awakening?" And I said, "Well, yes, of course it is." And he said, "I'd like to invite you on my program." And he told me, he said, "There's no book that's made a bigger impact on his life other than my book." He said, "This book has been a tremendous influence in my life, My Awakening." That's My Awakening, not just Serious Supremacism, but My Awakening. And he just said, "You know, I'd be honored to have you on the program." And so I did a show with him, and hopefully we'll have that sometime on VHS. The problem is, of course, it has a simultaneous Arabic translation to it, but it also has a satellite show, and it goes around the world. Well, Nidal has literally sent my book and promoted my book to leading personalities of European and American heritage all over the world. He has literally promoted the things that I promote. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. We have such a tremendous opportunity and this is a worldwide fight against Zionism. A lot of people have asked me whether Jewish Supremacism is published in Arabic. Actually, the demand for the book was so great, there's already been 2 pirated editions of the book already in the bookshops in the Middle East. It's already grown to tens of thousands of copies printed, and I've just made arrangements to do a fully, you know, authorized edition of the book. And also, we're making arrangements for My Awakening as well, which is also being well received. And the book that's going to be coming out is going to have praise and endorsement by some of the most respected people in all of the in all of Syria, in fact, all of the Middle East. And both Catholic, Protestant, and Muslim. And it's just going to be an amazing situation. You know, I've always been telling everyone that the world's going to change. It's going to change in an instant. There'll be a change in consensus. We just have to keep working, keep telling the truth with courage and faith. And I see the wheels of destiny turning. The leading Arabic scholars and political figures all say that my book, Jewish Supremacism, is the best book in the world for an understanding of the Zionist threat. Now, someday soon, I think you'll hear the same things from our own people in our own homelands. Because when this book becomes fully digested and understood by the huge Islamic population around the world, it cannot help, especially considering the European-American author from which it came, you can't help but diffuse to the Western world as well. Well, it's already in the Western world. It's already making an impact in America and Canada and Britain and France and, of course, Russia, where it's sold a huge number of copies, about 600,000 copies another pirate now, basically, edition of my book, but it's that's okay. The book's getting out. My university's printed it in Kiev. It's going into Czechoslovakia, and it's in Poland. We can just go on and on. The book is going around the world. And as it goes out, all these scholars and leaders and writers and business people that have contacts with the West, which they do in trade and education and everything else, this will also diffuse and spread the book into our part of the world. And it gives people a clear understanding of the Zionist threat. And the Zionist threat is a unique threat. It is not a traditional kind of threat. It's the most unique and dangerous threat the world has ever faced. It is this world will be washed in blood if the Zionists are successful. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to tell you, I'm so encouraged by what I've seen there, and I'm so encouraged about how this material is spreading around the world. Like I said, my book, I've read so many people who've read my books, and it, you know, even before it was in Arabic, in those countries, and the word is spreading. And the ultimate problem we face is Jewish supremacism. And by the way, every Arabic leader I met, every parliamentarian, because I was always careful to point out, I never want to be a hypocrite. You know, the Jews always try to accuse me of, you know, hating all the Arabs, and especially anybody that's dark skinned or has any, you know, maybe perhaps Negroid blood in them or something. And of course, I'm not that way. You know, I want to preserve my heritage, my European heritage. I'm determined to do so. I am absolutely determined that Europe and America we will preserve our heritage, we will preserve our freedom, we will have our children look as we look and feel the way we look with the same traditions and love and values. And I openly discussed this with everyone I met, and I said, look, I want you to understand, because I also had to deal with the fact that the Jewish supremacists in Israel kept trying to put out this malarkey about how much I hated the Arab world. The truth is that even back in my more radical days as a young man, I've always supported the Palestinian position and the principle that the Palestinians are fighting for. Their own homeland, their own freedom, not to be taken over by another people. That's the principle I'm fighting for. It's the same principle. And I told them, you know, very clearly that... you know, I want to preserve my homelands in the United States and Europe as you do, and so I'm opposed to any massive immigration, as I believe you would be if massive numbers of European Christians were moving into your communities and would change the traditions and your culture and your values and wipe away the entity of what your people are. And every single one said, not only do we not disagree with you, we respect you for that, and that's exactly what we want people to do. It takes the Jewish supremacists who want to control everyone to try to distort any national effort, any sort of self-identity, preservation of individual heritage effort that people make around the world. It is the Jewish supremacists that try to drive us into warfare against each other. We can live in coexistence by having our own nations and having our own societies, and we don't deny the idea that the Christians should have their societies in Europe. And by the way, the interview that you will hear very shortly, and by the way, the way you're going to get this interview is you go to davidduke.com and go right to the radio page, and you can get the interview with Nadal Kavalan, a fantastic interview. And Nadal says in the interview that one of the most important things that he understood from my book was the fact that the Jewish supremacists changed the immigration laws in the United States of America. That's right, changed those laws. And he began to understand of how they support and they try to create multiculturalism and ethnic pluralism in an attempt to destabilize countries, use divide and conquer to maintain their power. And that's quite amazing, isn't it? And this gentleman is going to be a great help to us in the future in so many ways. And we have really become good friends. The guy is very interesting. He kind of looks like a Syrian version of Peter Jennings. He's very light-skinned. He's very European. And so many Syrians are. Look at the technician next to us in the picture that you'll find on davidduke.com. And there are darker Syrians, but I respect them. You know, I respect, you know, their country. Their country is their country. That's just what it is. It's been there for 7,000 years. Damascus is the longest lived-in city. They can't help what came before them. But let me tell you, they do respect us, and they have to live in a nation that has a lot of plurality. I mean, they've had a sizable Christian community and a Muslim community. And you know, they've maintained the integrity of their own people. You go into the Christian community, and it is very large, as I said, and most of the Christians are of Greek descent. And you see, and guess what you see there? Blondes all over the place. They've actually preserved their heritage for almost since Greek times. It's just amazing. You know, but they've done this in a sense of peace. They haven't had Syria hasn't had this Jewish supremacist propaganda that tries to dissolve heritage and cultures. They live in respect of cultures, but they don't try to dissolve them and destroy them, because that's what Israel wants. They want to have every other people have no sense of any sort of ethnic solidarity, no sense of any sort of religious tradition and culture. It makes those nations easier prey for their attempts to occupy our media, our government, and resist. Obviously, if you really love your people, you feel a great sense of tradition and pride and heritage, and you want to preserve your people's freedom, you're going to be a lot more formidable opponent to a Jewish supremacist than someone who just says, well, I don't care. I don't care who runs things. I don't care if my people live or die. I don't care what happens. I don't care if our traditions are trampled upon. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm back from Syria. It's been a fantastic trip, and I'll be discussing this trip over the next few days. And I'm sorry that I had a couple interviews I uploaded, but we couldn't get it uploaded for some reason with James. So, but I am going to give you this interview. With this an hour interview. I think it's worthy to listen to two or three times. I think you're going to get a lot of value out of it. You can find it at davidduke.com, very first post, and look for the interview with Nidal Kabbalan, who is a Syrian, who is one of the best and most important anti-Zionist journalists in the entire world, a respected journalist by all different quarters, and a journalist who told me that my awakening changed his life and had a tremendous impact in his life. We are making a difference, ladies and gentlemen, and your support for what I'm doing and what Stormfront's doing, the town hall section, is truly making a tremendous difference right now. There are people who are coming to us and who are learning all over the world. And again, there's going to be this change in consensus. We are going to wake up in the not too near distant future in a new world where everybody wakes up and say, well, of course the Jewish supremacists control everything. We know that. We understand that. That everybody knows that. And when that happens, ladies and gentlemen, things will change. We are going to change the world together, and we need allies. Now, this doesn't mean we shouldn't preserve the integrity of our own countries. This doesn't mean we should open our borders wide, because absolutely we shouldn't. But let me tell you something. The people who have opened our borders, the people who changed the policies, for instance, in Europe and America, in terms of the immigration from the Middle East and elsewhere, and Africa and the whole world, have not been the people from North Africa or from the Middle East or from Asia. It has been, of course, the Jewish supremacists who have been trying to change and cause this destabilization and destruction of the European heritage. You know, many other... I'll say one more thing before I let you go on and hear that interview, which is such a fantastic interview. Many people often tell me, and I'll take many more posts, and I might do a program... a special program on Sunday. In fact, James, take note of this, and Don, we'll do a special program on Sunday, and I'll take a lot of your questions, your thoughts, your comments, and go for it. But I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, I had people, so many Syrian leaders, and I'm talking about top-notch people, and most of these people were highly educated with advanced degrees, and very fine business people, and they would come to me and they said, the truth is, that we know for a fact that the Jewish supremacists, that the Israelis, they actually hate the European Christians as much, if not more, than they hate we Arabs Muslims. And the evidence is true. They've coexisted, quite well with the Arabs for many years, but of course the thing about the Muslims is they didn't allow the Jews to maintain control of them. They're very hard, and their religion's very strong, let me tell you something. But the truth is, if you really look at Jewish literature and Jewish history and all this stuff about the Holocaust every day, then you'll see that they actually hate Europe as much, if not more, than they hate the Arabic world. We have a common enemy, and together we can defeat this enemy. It's an evil enemy that seeks to destroy other people. And on that note, I want to say something. In every show, I try to devote myself to some of our fellow patriots who are suffering terrible oppression by our enemies, the denial of the most important human rights. I've talked about the arrest and the jailing of Guillermo Rudolph. A person who's married to an American citizen, has an American child, an American daughter, and he's now in prison in Germany for simply writing something that the Holocaust historians don't like, because he refuted one of their premises. That's all. A scholar, a man who's a scientist, an educator, he's in prison. And right now David Irving is in prison. And recently they had a very interesting story I just read about another friend of mine, another individual I've known personally. I've known so many people over the years who've been in this fight so diligently. And that's Bruno Gollnisch. Bruno Gollnisch is second in command to Jean-Marie Le Pen, another friend of mine in France. And Bruno invited me to France a few years ago. And I came, and he was so nice and gracious to me. He put me up in his home, and we went to the European Parliament where he served, along with Jean-Marie Le Pen. He took me into the floor of the Parliament with Jean-Marie. And he's a very fine and a gracious individual, incredibly so. Well, recently, the European Parliament stripped him of his immunity from prosecution. He is being prosecuted by France, really by the Jewish supremacists in France, truthfully. He's being prosecuted for simply saying, not that there wasn't a Holocaust, not for denying the Holocaust, but saying there should be allowed to be a debate on the Holocaust. He didn't deny that thousands of Jews were killed. He didn't even say that the gas chambers didn't exist, but he said there should be allowed to be a debate on those subjects. That's all he said, and they are prosecuting him in France and trying to strip him of a seat in the European Parliament because of it. This is basic, dire oppression of human rights. And it shows our enemies. It's got to show people who are listening to this program for the first time the real nature of the people who dominate so much of the media and government of both Europe and America. They are literally suppressing people for asking for debate. That if you say to people that you should be allowed to discuss these questions of history, of something that took place over 60 years ago, for just saying there should be a debate, they're trying to put him into prison, ladies and gentlemen. There's no free speech in France. There's little free speech in Europe. There's no free speech in Canada today. There's some free speech, but even in America, they'll find ways to take care of you if you don't toe the party line. There's actually, ladies and gentlemen, a lot more free speech in Syria. I've seen every point of view there. They've even got books that are saying we should have rapprochement with Israel that are available to read in Syria. There are journalists of all points of view. You don't have that in the United States. You've actually got more freedom in many ways in Syria to express your opinions than in America. And as an American, that hurts my heart. And I say these things not because I hate my country. I love my country. I love my traditions and my heritage. But I hate what these Jewish supremacists are doing. I hate that the Jewish supremacists are leading my country today to torture, to wars against nations that aren't attacking us, to creating this tremendous bloodshed that's going on all over the world, and who are destroying my heritage at home. My problems are not on the Euphrates River. My problems are not, you know, on the Jordan River. My problems are on the Rio Grande. My problems are what's happening to my own country at the hands of these supremacists. And I tell you something, unless we defeat their powers in this world, not only will we lose our freedoms and culture, but indeed all the people of the world will as well. Every one of these officials, and I was saying this, I think I might have got distracted, were saying to me that they will not be able to have their freedom ultimately until Europeans have our freedom. And they said, and another thing they told me, which is very enlightening, they said, you know, and this is a wonderful, wonderful statement, they said, if Europeans would have maintained their power and not given up their government and their media to these Jewish supremacists, we would not have lost our lands. We would not have suffered the terrible attacks and catastrophes and deaths of hundreds of thousands of our people. We would not be suffering the way we're suffering. You know, it was bad for us when the European people lost control over their own media and government in America and Europe. And isn't that so true? Go to davidduke.com and listen to the fantastic interview with Nadal Kavalan. This has been David Duke, and until next time, I wish you the best. Use your fingers. I think this is one of my best programs ever. I think the interview is one of my best programs ever. I hope you spread the word of it all over the internet, all over the world, and let's work together to restore our freedom and our heritage, and indeed respect that and protect that for all people on the earth. Thanks so much for being with me. Thanks so much for your support. I heard from many people around the world with emails while I was in that part of the world. I want to let everybody know that I was very safe. I've never felt safer than on the streets of Damascus. Never felt safer. And by the way, there have been no terrorist acts against any Americans in that country. And if there are any in the future, ladies and gentlemen, I can guarantee you it will be the Mossad who does it. It'll be the Mossad who commits that kind of atrocity to promote an illegal and unjust war, which will be devastating for both the Syrian people and the American people. I close with simply saying the most important words of the present moment in history, and that is, no war for Israel. No war for Israel. No war for Israel. See you on Sunday.
This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom.